Welcome to the Ecom 80/20 podcast, the show for brands looking to compete and win at selling online by building better customer relationships. Hosted by Isaac Hyman and Yaakov Rosenberg, co-founders of Highflyer Digital and marketing experts for 7-, 8-, and 9-figure brands, we'll reveal, discuss, and demystify the secret strategies that the top 1% use to acquire, convert, and retain customers better. Our mission is to help level the playing field and help you build more profitable, predictable, and scalable revenue streams for your business. Let's get started.
Hey, welcome back to the Ecom 80/20 podcast. I'm here, your host, Yaakov Rosenberg, with my partner, Isaac Hyman, and we are here to help e-commerce brands work smarter, not harder. Today is a great day. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. We normally record on Thursdays.
Super day.
We normally record on Thursdays, but we decided that today's appropriate for the day. We wanted to talk this morning so that we can really get in the zone before the game later tonight. And I for one, I'm watching it. I'm going to take a nap so that I can stay up late. The game here starts in Israel 1:30 in the morning, but we're going to take a nap. We're going to be pre-game, and then we'll be up for the game. Isaac, you going to watch the game later today?
I'm definitely watching the game. We're invited to a party here, so we're going to get together, go get some homemade food going, nice little party. You know, that old chestnut.
Nice.
So, well, yeah, definitely.
For those of you on video watching this, I'm here wearing my, repping my Giants Super Bowl championship shirt.
Yeah.
2007. I got my hat going from 2011, 10-year anniversary of the Super Bowl victory over the Patriots. I normally wear our,
that was a great shirt. One.
That was a great game. Yeah. They're all both great games, but, it's even more fun when it's your team playing. So neither of us really have teams, in the game this year, but still fun to watch the game. Still fun to watch.
I don't think I know too many people.
Yeah. And
I know too many people from Cincinnati. Not too many people
know Cincinnati or follow the Cincinnati teams or even LA. LA has the Rams, but they're moving from St. Louis back to LA and then back to St. Louis and then back to LA. And now it's the second year in a row, actually, that the home team, that the stadium is hosting its own team in it, like the LA Rams play in SoFi Stadium in California. Last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers played in their home stadium for the Super Bowl, and it's never happened before until last year. And now it's 2 years in a row; it's happening again. So what are the odds? Speaking of odds,
I think I wonder if Tom Brady bowed out of this Super Bowl just to have that achievement happen.
Yeah. Just so he could be one of the only ones, right?
Right. So like, you could have two games in a row in their own stadium.
Yeah.
And we don't see Tom Brady.
Oh
right. Man, so, that's gonna be a loss.
he lost intentionally so that they wouldn't have to have the game in Tampa. They wouldn't have the wrong team in playing in LA.
Theory.
He's a smart guy. I wouldn't put it past him, but he's a smart guy. So So today's topic, appropriate for the day, we wanted to talk about Super Bowl advertising because it's a big topic for everybody. Loves the commercials. Everybody loves watching the crazy stuff that goes on. And, you know, really funny Super Bowl commercials have been in the past, and some of them are really clever. Some of them are actually very thought-provoking when they're not meant to be funny. They're meant to be thought-provoking over the last couple of years, building awareness for organizations. And, you know, there's always great stuff in the Super Bowl, whether it's meant to be funny or meant to be awareness, it's still great commercials, because when a company is putting a lot of money into an advertisement, they want it to be, you know, have a real effect, whether it's a return on investment, ROI, or just a return on that, you know, brand awareness. So, you know, this year, and last year especially, was when people were not going to those Super Bowl parties. Isaac, I'm happy to hear that you are going. That's exciting. Fun to get back to these parties, because after 2 years COVID, we're pretty much ready to get back into get-togethers and parties, and it's good to get back to that. So happy to hear that you're doing that. But, you know, definitely, one of the things that, you know, as a marketing agency, we like to look at advertising a little bit differently. We look at it from the lens of, oh, cool, how did they do that? Or what was their message? What was the thought you know, going into that before the game? And sometimes you spend months and months and even years developing your advertisements. And sometimes, you know, you have to be spur of the moment. Because if you remember a couple of years ago, the game was between the San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens, and the power went out in the middle of the game, right? Remember that Oreo came out with that tweet, and it was really like a clever tweet. I want to pull it up where they basically dunked, you know, the idea was you can still dunk in the dark, and you know, the power went out in the stadium, but you can still dunk in the dark. And that was like spot on. It's really clever. It got so much
relevant.
And it was perfectly relevant and perfectly timed. And it wasn't something that you didn't have to plan that in advance. And whoever was involved in that, whatever team was like jumping on that, because they jumped on it. It happened within minutes with the power going out in the Super Bowl. And that is just spot on marketing. And they got such good credit for that. So, you know, as much as it takes months to plan, sometimes even the best ads happen, you know, within seconds. So today we want to talk about what's involved in a good advertisement, good Super Bowl. You know, there's a lot of money that gets spent on it. So we want to look into the data. We want to look into how brands, especially with the push now for people being home and shopping online during the game, what are brands able to do, and how are they able to acquire that market of people shopping while they're watching the game. So Isaac, if you think about it, what was your favorite ad over the years for Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, my favorite, all-time favorite was the 2013 Super Bowl ad with the Doritos Go for Sale commercial. I watch that to this day.
Yeah.
It was just hilarious to me. It was this guy selling a goat. And this goat was special because it ate a whole bunch of Doritos, and it just kept eating and eating. And it's a great novelty up until it's like, 2 a.m. goat's still eating Doritos and on and on. And then all of a sudden you see the guy trying to sell the goat again. So funny. It's like constant cycle. And I mean, that commercial was just really memorable. And I guess that's pretty much how these brands are doing their marketing. It's, can we be memorable? Can we evoke an emotion? Can we connect with the person behind the game that's watching the big game here? And I think that's kind of what people have to start doing more and more. And it's also just not really, I think the main takeaway from this commercial was it's predominantly historically been a game where men would enjoy, all the ads would target men. But I think it's starting to become the realization, not starting, it is now becoming a destination for families, for people of all ages, people of all backgrounds. It's become a major event for, you know, everyone. So the commercials have to target everyone. So that's really been a main takeaway from that. But yes, that goat commercial was hilarious.
Nice. You mentioned that it's become an event, and it's, you know, not just targeting men, not just targeting, you know, it's targeting families, and it's targeting people who are not necessarily there to watch football. They're there to watch, you know, be in the experience and just have a good time. And, you know, some people really just watch the Super Bowl for the commercials, right? They don't even watch the actual game. Yeah. They don't care, right? It used to be, or on a normal football game, you'll go and take a break during a commercial break, and, you know, you want to watch the actual football because you don't actually care what the commercials are. So you go to the bathroom, you fill up your chips, you fill up your drink. But now during the Super Bowl, like, people leave during the actual football, right? You want to go to the bathroom, you go during the football. You don't want to miss the commercials.
Yeah. They don't have a time to go.
Yes.
Right.
You got to hold it in for 3 hours of football. So even the halftime show is an event. So, you know, there's so much going on during this day, and it really should be a national holiday, right? To me, Super Bowl Sunday is an event. Like, there shouldn't be school the next day. You want kids to get into these events. You want to target the younger generation. They should make it a national holiday in the U.S. that kids shouldn't have to go to school. I never made my, we never really stayed up all that late, but to me, we're starting the game here in Israel at 1:30 in the morning. It's going to be 4:30 by the time the game's over. I don't know that I'm sending my son to school the next day because he's going to watch the game with me, my 14-year-old son. So I think that he's getting a day off. Don't tell his teacher because I'm going to get in trouble. But if right. you're listening to this podcast,
that's actually what they're doing in the. Yeah, that's what they're doing in Cincinnati. Yeah. Win or lose, Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken, the schools are closed.
Nice.
So I think in the hometown team probably definitely should.
Yeah,
to take off. I don't know how it plays with New York Giants, you know, as you're decked out. That's
yeah.
You got two teams here, New York Jets, Giants, so it's New York.
Okay, so let's dive into to some of the ones that, you know, we're looking at as an agency, we like to look at the data. We like to see what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, we spent a lot of time doing some research on last year's Super Bowl commercials because we have the data now. After those worked and what didn't work, and some of the best performing ads were the ones that that had a call to action, basically a message that says go do something now during the game and during the Super Bowl, during the commercials, so that people who are sitting watching the game can actually do something and take an action that we would normally. You know, you'd have to check it later after the game's over, but because people are so active on their phones, especially with e-commerce and especially in the grocery realm, you know, people are hungry or even before the game, they're ready to plan for their parties. How much of that market share do they really acquire over the course of the, you know, week or two before the game? So, you know, there are brands like Pepsi Cola, who's always a big name in there, Coca-Cola, and then it goes in even into more granular, like Pringles and Frito-Lay and Doritos, as you said, has always been a big participant in Super Bowl commercials. Some of the best ones are the Doritos Time Machine one. I think that was one of my favorites. You can look that up afterwards. So, you know, where do we turn when we look at e-commerce with Super Bowl commercials, Isaac?
I think first off, it matters about assessing how you're going to measure results and how you're going to measure incrementality behind it. And there's really a few ways that you can potentially do that if you're looking to advertise. And again, obviously, if not every e-commerce brand listening to this webinar, listening to this podcast can really, it's maybe a webinar too, but listening to this podcast can actually afford a Super Bowl commercial. But it's also about kind of tying in whatever you're doing to the fact that the Super Bowl is happening. And brands need to focus on a couple areas of incrementality. The number one, they should be tracking user behavior during the game, right? So for example, a good example of that is if there's a hashtag or if there's so that's being used and you see the kind of increase in that, that's a great way to kind of like blast out to your market during the Super Bowl and see what that increase is. Increases in branded search, people who are searching for terms such as I would do, like Doritos Gold commercial or things like that, or Doritos. So that would be like a branded search. And you can, and then the other one is just how much first party data are you acquiring? Such as, let's say you have, right, go back to Doritos.com or iLoveDoritos.com, wherever the URL would be. And then you're able to then track the results from people coming to that page. Get their data, get their information, ask them to sign up, ask them to leave their phone number, join your social profiles, things like that. That's a user-initiated behavior that you can track and see some data, see some ROI from. Yeah. So I think that overall, the best way to market yourself during this time is engage in any one of those, any area that allows you to increase any of those sections, right? Hashtag usage, branded search, or first-party data. Will you see a direct impact in sales? Right away, jury's out, right? So,
but it's all related. Meaning, people that are signing up, you might get a lot of signups. There's a great commercial. People are jumping on their phones, going to that website, whatever it is, and that, you know, brings them to a dedicated landing page, right? If it's either the homepage that they're driving people to, or it's a dedicated landing page, you know, brand/Super Bowl, right? We were working with a restaurant a couple of years ago. And, you know, you have a dedicated evergreen page. It just says Super Bowl and might have their menu on it, might have a special offer that the visitors who are watching these Super Bowl commercials can come and really take that action. And whether it's join a list or be involved or, you know, be socially active, whatever it is, it's all about that engagement, the call to action that they're driving people to, because that's how you acquire the information that you want to that you're yeah. promoting during this really, like you said, really expensive advertisement. It has to be, you know, measurable. It has to be something that you can really work with.
And yeah, and another thing is just kind of like not make it too much of a stretch. Some brands kind of try to tie into the Super Bowl to a very high level. I don't know. They would try to promote, it's tough to say what exactly would be, I don't know, apparel, some sort of types of apparel, or you tie it into the Super Bowl, like a super sale, Super Week Bowl weekend sale. Okay, that's a stretch. You know, you got to make it very clear that there's a good connection. And the other element for success is if you do sell a product, you know, definitely create a, like you said before, create a specialized kind of landing page and experience and reduce the friction on purchases, right? So if you have one item to purchase, a great example is like a Dollar Shave Club or a Birchbox, where you know exactly what's in there. You get a box of razors, you click, check out, it's out to you while you're watching the game. You don't have to shop, you don't have to browse, you don't have to look around. You have to make convoluted purchases, like putting the weight of your products, or, you know, see if it's in stock, you know, like it's not convoluted and you just straight to checkout. That's one way to kind of lead to direct sales. If that's really your goal, you just have to make it as frictionless as possible.
Yeah. And we were dealing with that with another brand who asked us, I said, okay, so what promotion are we running for the Super Bowl? And like you said, it just wasn't relevant. Like there's no reason why your audience specifically is going to be interested in a Super Bowl promotion just because it's Super Sunday. It has to make sense. And you can't,
like jewelry or something. Yeah, that's
jewelry, an example. Jewelry or books, yeah. You know, even like relevance has to be there, or else it's just a stretch. And your audience realizes it. They see it and they say, oh, this didn't actually make any sense. You're just throwing out you're just throwing out a promotion because it's Super Bowl Sunday. Okay, if it was Black Friday, everybody does a Black Friday sale. With Valentine's Day, jewelry makes sense, but books doesn't make sense on Valentine's Day, which is coming up tomorrow. So if for all those men listening, make sure you got your Valentine's a nice gift. The promotion has to make sense. And that's why we people plan this kind of thing for months, and you can't just throw something out there just because it's Super Bowl Sunday. So, right. So what we were looking at was, in terms of that measurable ROI, what would you say is, you know, grocery is a great example of things that happen before the Super Bowl, leading up to it, making sure you're stocked and everything. And even during the game, you might be interested in something like, oh, I want that for later. Food items are probably the biggest purchase before leading up to the game. And then during the game, you know, you need a refill, or you just ran out of this in your house and you're throwing a party, you need to restock, throw it in my shopping cart and I'll take care of it later. So would you say that makes sense? What would you say groceries impact would be felt leading up to and during the Super Bowl?
Well, grocery definitely has a great impact. Obviously, you have a ton of people making purchases for parties. I think the opportunity for groceries will be a major focus on buy online, pick up in store. That is obviously one of the biggest trends going right now, where you can buy it, get it, and it's already in your door, right? You're already available to curbside pickup. You can actually grab it. Obviously, what you may see over the next year, if it hasn't been happening at a high level yet, it probably has in some markets, is the opportunity to buy products right away, order products, let's say an hour before the Super Bowl, and guess what? An hour later, they are at your door. That's that kind of like 1 hour fulfillment, last mile delivery. That is great. Who wouldn't love that? I think it was Domino's that has a fantastic app and fantastic experience where you can order and they have that guarantee that says, you know, they are in a half hour or less,
or your money
or
back.
You don't pay, right? Or it's free. And just reminding people of that capability to kind of like get an item, order an item and get it pretty much in the same, you know, couple hour window is great. That's just unbeatable. And that's really where groceries can really tie in with the game. After the game, really what they can really play up is if they had some sort of landing page offer or something on their site that said, you know, refer a friend. I think there's a great time when, like I said, everyone's getting together. And if you can, if you had a great tasting experience, if you ordered a great platter or a food, you know, menu from, or a party package from some of the top groceries or some of the top restaurants out there, it's a great time to refer people because they had an opportunity to taste your food,
yeah,
and try it out.
Yeah.
Initiate that refer a friend program. There's no better way. That's true. Yeah. User generated content. Oh, I got one more too. I'm seeing a big trend on that as well is, you know, make sure that you're hashtagable, you know, make sure that you're able to be found. Again, like we said, user generated content is key. If you're in parties and you're trying this nice, amazing, you know, what are we making? We're making this kind of like a wonton type of item. My wife is making it. She knows how to make all that stuff. I don't. So she's making all this wonton stuff and she may be able to, you know, post on Instagram and hashtag the restaurant or tag the restaurant, see what that does. And you're just going to be involved with the conversation with a lot more people on social media. So that's another area.
Nice.
To capitalize on. So a lot of good opportunities on demand.
So that brings us to, you know, you touched on a little bit of user generated content, but the idea there is something that we talked about a lot through our webinars and a lot of our marketing efforts, a lot of our promotional material talks about being omnichannel. And a lot of these brands are now using the Super Bowl ads as a method to get to that omnichannel level where they're, you know, have a digital media on the Super Bowl commercial. They have their website that's already talking about the ad that they're already promoting. You know, some of these ads are released in advance, and you know, you can even get, you know, all the Super Bowl commercials before the game even starts, but some people don't like the spoilers. But it's in their messaging of how they are promoting their products or services, and you know, being on the Super Bowl, like you said, or on social media, on their website, on YouTube, on wherever it is that they can be, so that their audience, wherever they're found, can see them and really, really reap the benefits of being everywhere. Talk about that for a minute, because there's so much importance to being omnichannel when it comes to e-commerce, especially, but also, you know, all marketing in general.
Yeah, omnichannel is super important. For those that don't know really what it means kind of like being present on every single marketing channel, every single touch point, every single part of the customer journey. And on average, it takes about 9 touch points to win over a customer. So when you think about it, and you'll see this in your feeds, in your day-to-day, pre and post Super Bowl, where brands are, number one, leaking the video out on their website, for example, that's one. Going live on Super Bowl Sunday with their ad on TV. That's another channel. Posting that hashtag or some sort of relevance on their social media profiles during the game, live tweeting perhaps. That's 3, right? Running branded ads on Amazon, on Walmart, places where there's retail marketplace networks. These are actually becoming, that's something we should talk about at a later date, the rise of marketplaces that are running ads. Yeah, exactly. That's a fast growing industry. Anyway, so people running ads like Planters on Walmart.com or on Amazon.com. That's another touch point. And then after the game, of course, you'll see like just now it's running on regular TV. It's running on syndication. So I think you'll see that omnichannel is key to winning over the customer, and it's going to be super important to try and solve every single touch point. And we all know. I mean, you know, right after the game on a Monday, they should call it like a term, like you said, maybe it's like a, you know, sleep in Monday or something. Yeah. I don't know. But everyone's just kind of like goes to their computer and watches the commercials again.
Yep.
They go to YouTube and they rewatch all the commercials because they were like, you know, talking there. And then the kid woke up and then they have to put someone to bed and everyone's water running around.
Yeah.
So water cooler. There you go. Water cooler Mondays. There you go. Hashtag that. So
we're coining like, that phrase, trademark. It's ours.
We're coining that phrase. Water cooler. This should be water cooler Wednesday, to be honest. The W.
I'm bad. The game would happen on Tuesday. Super Tuesday. Yeah. Something else. That's election day.
Well, maybe that's good for March Madness. Maybe we should think about that. Anyway, so
got about a month.
And that implies people are back in the office, by the way. Let's not forget that.
Right. Well, a lot of people are coming back, so it's good. But
yeah. So yeah, I think those are the areas where, like you exactly you're saying, omnichannel makes sense. You need to be everywhere. You need to invest not just in that three or four hour window of the game. You need to focus on the 3 or 4 day period before and after the game too. So 100% important.
And just in terms of omnichannel, like the idea there also is that brands have to be wherever the customer is. And it's not just that, you know, in addition to what you said, that you know, the average purchase is made after 7, 8, or 9 touches. You know, the brands have to be everywhere so that they can be where the customers are. It might be that if they're on Twitter scrolling during the game, they should see a Planters ad. If they're on, Walmart.com, they'll see a Planters ad. If they're watching on YouTube, they should see a Planters ad, because to them, it's so important to reinforce the money that they're spending for their advertisement during the Super Bowl, so that when people are on their phone scrolling, they'll like, okay, fine, just a click instead of, bring it back to the phone, from the TV to the phone. So it's so important to be everywhere, but also to be where your customers are, whatever channel it is that they're on. So, parting words today. If you have not had a chance to look at the advertisements yet, I have not. I have not seen any previews of the Super Bowl commercials. Are there any brands that you're hoping come out?
Me neither. Got to wait for it.
Yeah. Any brands that you think is going to come out with a really, really good ad? I know that Bud Light always comes out with a good one, but my son actually was on, I think it's Bleacher Report, where there was a poll of what ad is going to be the first ad in the Super Bowl. And I think he was given choices of beer, food, other drink, or other, you know, not food related at all. So I think I told him to choose beer, because I think Bud Light's always good. They've had that Bud Light Night for a while. What brand do you think is going to really knock it out of the park this year?
Well, I guess if you're asking me, I guess pretty much that I'm pretty much the only one here. So I think the other thing is just obviously if we're talking at partying, it's me and you. So I think that overall there's going to be two types of ads. It's going to be obviously the long tail, the ones that are going to really, you know, build a brand. But I think the direct response ads will be the best. I think Caesars Sportsbook Casino.
Yeah.
I believe like casino type based apps will make a killing. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they just, if the data is correct, they process over $600 million in bets in the first 9 days of New York state legalization.
Wow.
So you can bet that's from a 30-second spot. So within a 30-second spot in the Super Bowl, and if they're kind of like, I guess they're global, national, then you can expect to see a direct response lead straight to their app, straight to their website, and that's successful. So keep an eye on those ads for entertainment value and for actual success value.
And how many brands do you think are going to be doing a few spots, meaning not just one ad, or I don't want to say a couple of different commercials, but more than a few commercials that are all a sequence, meaning you have to have watched the other two for the third one to make sense. So it's not just a Doritos commercial where it's three different Doritos commercials, because we all know, you know, what the end result is by Doritos. But more like you have to have almost like a story. Like we talk about brand stories and building them out. So it would have to be something that brands will have to play out over the course of a couple of commercials. Do you think they're going to be anything like that this year?
Yes. I think that's similar to I'm not sure if it was Clorox or it was some other kind of cleaning product that was run and you had to kind of watch it over and over again. It was the guy from Stranger Things. So I think that was a really good one, and you could see that again. It's expensive, but that was super engaging. So yeah. I think that's going to be very exciting to see if they can do that and swing it. I think at the time that any disinfectants and cleaning material, cleaning products were smart anyway, because
right.
Guess what? Everyone needs it.
Yeah. And with COVID, the appearance of COVID, but, everybody was like cleaning everything all the time. So,
right. I tell you, we probably won't see Peloton. So no,
probably not.
Won't see a Peloton ad.
You won't see.
That's also not really much of an impulse buy.
You won't see Joe Rogan promoting on Spotify either. So
no,
they won't see that.
But what we will see this year. We'll see an ad. I think the data is correct, we should see an ad from Meta. So it's going to make a first appearance at the game, promoting the metaverse, I guess. So keep an eye on that one. That's going to be intriguing. Nice. See what that does.
I'm actually looking forward to the Marvel movie previews that are, and TV shows that are coming up on Disney Plus. There's special promotions coming out, special previews coming out during the Super Bowl. So I'm a big Marvel fan. Nice. That's coming out only during the Super Bowl. It has not been leaked yet. I know that Disney is keeping a lock on that, but I'm looking forward to that too. So speaking of predictions and if you had to pick one, by the time everybody listens to this podcast, the results will have been in already because the game will be over by the time this goes live. But what team are you expecting to win? Cincinnati or Los Angeles?
I think Cincinnati will win. I feel there's a lot of team behind it. I feel there's a lot of pent up like demand. They really want to get something for that town, and they deserve it. They deserve it. If they got this far, let's get them over the hurdle.
Nice. LA has enough going on. I'm rooting for the former Giant, Odell Beckham Jr., playing on Los Angeles this year, or for the second half of this year. I'm rooting for the Rams, and I'm also an NFC guy, so I'm rooting for the Rams. And by the time we listen to this tomorrow,
all right,
we'll know who won. So thanks again for listening to the 80-20 podcast. I'm your host, Jakob Rosen.
Thanks for listening to the Ecom 80-20 podcast. If you enjoyed this show, please make sure to subscribe and follow us on social at High Flyer Digital for daily tips, content, and videos. To put this week's strategy into action and move your brand forward, go to highflyerdigital.com/book and schedule a free 15-minute chat with Isaac and Jakob. Let's partner together to compete and win at e-commerce. Your brand is worth it. Until next week, this is Isaac and Jakob wishing you a successful and profitable week.